We welcome you, dear saints, this evening to the house of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I should make some introductions, I suppose. Brother Bob Davis, Priest Bob Davis, is our speaker this evening. Elder Leroy Shoemaker will offer the invocation. Brother Steve is providing music for us. We're thankful for that. And I have a scripture I'd like to read for you. It's brief and to the point. I think it's worth thinking about. It's Philippians 2:2-3. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And speaking of one accord, our first hymn is number 73, Join With Us in Sweet Accords.
Father, we come before you and we bow before you, Father, in reverence and adoration and praise, even as we have just sang. And Father, as we look with in our body of saints. This evening we are few in number. But Lord, our decreasing numbers emphasizes our love for each other and our need for each other. And I believe it even strengthens our bond with each other as we recognize, Father, the signs of the times and the circumstances under which our lives are living. So, Father, we come before you seeking your spirit and your guidance and your direction. And that inner strength and peace, Father, that only you and your Holy Spirit can provide to your children. And we come together, Father, in faith, believing that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you are there. And so we welcome you amongst us, Father, and we pray that your presence would be detected and sensed and enjoyed by each one, and that our awareness of your presence would increase. Pray a blessing upon our brother Bob as he brings the message of the evening. May your spirit come to each of us through him by the truths and the words that he would share with us. So be with us, Lord, as we seek to bring forth and establish your kingdom. No matter how few we are, we know it will succeed, and that your will be done, even as Bob has mentioned numerous times in his prayers. So be with us, Father. Move amongst us. Wean us from the things of this world, Father, and bind us together in brotherly love is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
For scripture tonight, I've chosen to read a scripture that is familiar to all of us, very familiar, but it needs repeating. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. May God bless us with the understanding of his word.
Now let's sing number 68. 6-8, my soul praise the Lord.
As I look out over the congregation tonight, the word that comes to mind is mayonnaise. Mayonnaise? Yeah, mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, not many people here tonight. I have got so much material. I hardly know where to start or where to stop. What I hope to do tonight is to remind ourselves of the blessings that God has for his people. I have several sheets of notes from the Kirtland Priesthood Assembly, notes from the assembly itself, and letters that were written by others referring back to that experience. It was a good experience, and there were a lot of things told that we should be concerned about. Not necessarily worried about, but certainly concerned about. One of the things that impressed me was a message given to the attendees at that conference in 2022. The priesthood assembled, I come before you this day to bring counsel of the Lord. I have been made aware from the beginning that the Lord desired a message to be brought forth to this body of priesthood assembled together. And this is given by Richard Neal. The spirit of discouragement has taken its toll on the people of the church. This has affected the whole body, and in particular the youth, the aged, and the vulnerable. There's been a great loss of hope among God's people for many years. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and many have lost their hope and faith in the church as expressed in the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Without faith and hope, charity diminishes, and the gospel of Jesus Christ suffers. Many have become lost from the Lord and lost from each other. The Lord grieves over this condition. For some time, the Lord has invited me into his presence to share some things with me. I have stepped into the realm of eternity, and I felt an unworthiness to be in such a place. The Lord has comforted me with his spirit each and every time, and without exception, when I have felt this unworthiness. Over the last several months, I have inquired repeatedly of him if these thoughts are of him, to the point that the natural man would have become weary of me asking over and over again the same questions. On many occasions, I was ready to leave this behind because of my weakness and walk away. But the Lord is merciful. He is kind. He is patient. He has patiently assured me of what it is that he wants done and said at this time. I have promised to him that I would do what he asked of me. Not my will, but his will be done. It is by his spirit that I come to you now in this hallowed place. Time has come for these words to be spoken unto you. Now remember, this was in 2022. It is now 38 years since the 1984 World Conference. It is from this point in time that much of the restoration movement was formed because of many decisions that were made within the church. These events have led you to this point in time. And it goes on. It talks about the branches have become independently separated. And many of my people have become lost because of the mist of darkness and of wandering in strange roads. The restoration has become filled too often with a spirit of contention. You must become one. You have placed the command to wait and the command to act above the commandment that I gave unto you. The commandment I give unto you is to listen. Listen to me first. I have not changed in my intentions for you. Keep the two great commandments of love for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and one another as your neighbors. I will yet use you for this purpose and stewardship that I have given you. If not, my purposes will not fail, but as I said in former years, I will raise up another people. So I will be in your midst if you will hearken unto my words. What is lacking is a spiritual condition required of you for Zion to come forth. There are two stewardships that will ensure success. Prepare yourself through scripture, prayer, fasting, and humble service. Take the Holy Spirit as a guide in all things that you do. You must become one. This would include groups and associations you have formed and the responsibilities that you carry. Needful things will be restored. I give unto you 2 years to implement these stewardships. Then, if you are obedient, I will give you the things which are to follow. The 2 years would be by the same time of year as this assembly. Now, this assembly was in September of 22. 2 years from that is this fall. Do not tarry in these things like the unwise virgins. You are not adequately prepared for what is to come upon the world in the next 2 years. How long must I wait? I will have given you 40 years. If you heed these words, you'll marvel at the protection I will give you. The church will yet flourish, but only if you will listen to me and come together in my spirit. I found it interesting. He said, I will have given you 40 years. And just out of curiosity, I looked in the scriptures and found many, many references to 40 years. And I don't think it's a coincidence when you go to the 5th chapter of Joshua, it says that the Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness. In fact, there's 28 references to 40 years in the Old Testament. So 40 years is an important number to the Lord. And that 40 years is coming up this fall. It's not going to be good. There's going to be all kinds of problems. This past April, we were given this. I believe it's Mike Ballantyne. He doesn't say so, but I think that's where it came from. This is April of this year. Remember my words to you in past messages concerning another plague that is pending. It will be much worse than the previous one. Soon it will appear. I held back this man-made virus to help my people in their preparation. To those who have heeded my voice will I give power to overcome the plagues and disturbances that lie before them. But I am merciful even to those whose lives reflect Babylon's enticements and those who trust in their own persuasion. So I again warn and call upon my saints to continue their preparations, for soon the breath of pestilence will sweep over the land. And only those grounded in my love and provision will be able to resist the arrow by day and the pestilence that walks in darkness. The next plague will halt commercial trading, and people will once again face confinements in their homes, not being able to purchase needed commodities. But then he gives some consolation, some hope. When stores are closed, I will supply your need and even extend your pantry to include as many people who knock on your door. When there is sickness, I will extend my hand of healing and give people the strength to endure the scourge. When gangs of defiance approach your dwelling, I will call my angels to block their way and to hinder all evil that seeks to destroy you. When government mandates cause you to tremble, I will open a way for you to continue your journey towards my kingdom. My purpose does not falter. My way is straight and does not waver. Neither do my words come back unto me void. Listen, listen, O house of Israel, you who are adopted into my fold by obeying and accepting my covenant. Place your trust firmly in me. Hold firmly to my voice of assurance, and the waves of destruction will not overtake you. Again, I give warning. Who will heed? Who will obey? Times are not going to get any better right away. Eventually they will. But it's going to be a rough road before that happens. That was given in April of this year, April 9th. On April 22nd, I believe it's Mike Ballantyne, said, "Dearest Lord, concerning the next plague that is coming, will it come upon us suddenly? Will it be related to the election or other world events? I ask this in the name of Jesus, as it is according to your will." And this is what was given. The pending plague will appear just before the election in order to keep Donald Trump from attaining the office of president. For if things continue on in their present state, he will succeed in obtaining the votes necessary to sit in the office of president of the United States. There will be mandates set in place whereby no elections can be held, and then it is free expression will cease. It will be the beginning of famine of the word, for it will lead to the silencing of truth, both by way of the internet and by way of commercial interaction. For anyone who speaks, now listen to this, for anyone who speaks against government authority will be labeled as an anarchist or terrorist. Even while speaking on your phone, you will need to be careful of your words, for all means of communication will be monitored. And there will be threats of violence against any who speak of tyranny at the level of government authority. If you stand for truth, you will stand alone, except that I will stand beside you. It will be a serious offense to speak against any authority that is placed in control. You will be able to attend church, but it will also be monitored. So to speak any word against said authority will bring about church closure and loss of assembly. Now will be fulfilled the final events that will cause Babylon to fall and usher in Zionic communities. Look to me, your Savior, for I have the power to silence the storm. My arms of safety, as the scourge goes flaming past. Thus it is that evil has reached a level of intensity that I must move, even to save the elect, as well as millions of others who would otherwise perish when judgments begin. Read my words of hope and rely only on me. Pursue my ways of peace. Your prayers will be heard and answered. Let go of things that cause you to fear and to tremble. My refuge is solid, and its bulwarks are strong. No enemy that comes against you shall prosper if the presence of my spirit resides in your heart and in your home. Give ear lest sudden destruction overtakes you. Refrain from worry, for this brings spirits of deception and torment. Release all things into my care, for there is no power that can overwhelm me, and by the power of my might you will be victorious. Let nothing deter you from your task. It's frightening when you think of the lack of privacy that we have these days, with all with all the electronics, they can listen in on anything. They can track you by your cell phone. They have all kinds of ways to intercept messages. And all these things, according to the news reports, all these telephone calls, or you're on the computer, the internet, all that stuff is stored. There's banks and banks and banks of electronic storage that keep all those communications. And according to this, we're going to be monitored. And if we speak against the powers that be, the Babylon powers that be, we will pay a penalty, a great penalty. In May, now that was given in April. In May, he went to the Lord again. And Lord, when and how will the next plague begin? I ask this in Jesus' name. The plague that will engulf the United States and other countries will begin in the latter part of September. After a very short season of peaceful existence among U.S. citizens, the nature of this plague will begin in the larger cities of the country. Again, New York, Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco will see a serious rise of illness, along with many other centers where there are high populations. The plague will begin specifically among the citizens in New York, followed by outbreaks in many cities and towns relatively near the larger metropolitan areas. The number of deaths will stagger the imagination, and the subsequent shutdown of all economic forms will be seen and felt. People will submit to government agencies, to government mandates. Highways will be blocked by police and military vehicles, which of course relates to those who are attempting to gather in. Lack of resources will cause panic and hysteria. The only ones seen on roadways or at airports will be government troops and military personnel. Hostilities will increase as food becomes scarce. Utility and water companies will be unable to supply enough water or electricity for American homes. Hostile conditions will close all stores and medical facilities. Many will die as this formidable pandemic has been developed in laboratories, and man will be unable to control the speed of infection. But I say to my people, let not this news bring you down into the depths of sorrow, for I will intervene and cause this diabolical substance to fade. Your cupboards will swell with supplies, and the masses who come to your dwellings will be fed, clothed, and ministered to by the testimonies of my beloved saints. So people are going to run out of water. There'll be no more electricity. You won't be able to go to the grocery store and buy supplies. You're going to have to rely on your neighbors. And when they come to your door, share with them. It says, your cupboards will swell with the supplies, and the masses who come to your dwellings will be fed, clothed. By the end of November, life as it now exists will be over. And the people will either seek their God or deteriorate in the midst of pioneer living and lack of technology. Those gathered into Zionic communities will be the only ones who will have food and sustenance. So there's hope. There's hope in spite of all these terrible things that are going to happen. Government will have lost control of its people. They will no longer care for citizens or occupants of this land. There will be mob violence and gang warfare. In the midst of all these things, my city shall rise in great measure, and the forces of darkness will not be able to come near my fortress. Then it is Russia will arise in her terrible demeanor and gather her forces to cross into Israel and think an evil thought towards America's heartland. Great will be the armies that gain entrance to America, and their hope for seizure will be seen as a massive war machine devouring every parcel of America's frontier. But as they near independence, here's the hope, but as they near independence and the borders of my city, they will feel the wrath of an angry God and fall as dung upon the landscapes of this once great nation. It's kind of frightening when you think of all this stuff, this bad stuff, that's being foretold. It's frightening, particularly to those who do not know the gospel. We have many words of counsel that have been given. by Valentine. After viewing another broadcast concerning predicted events in greater detail, I asked the Lord if this program was accurate. I know of a surety that Zion is coming and the Lord will reign over us. Although evil will cause great displays of plagues, unconstitutional edicts, and fiery revelation, I am well able to keep my people safe. Events foretold will surely come to pass, but I always warn my people before a catastrophe occurs. Indeed, the hour approaches when things will change from an atmosphere of secure dwelling into a scene of carnage and bloodshed upon the streets of America. We're starting to see that already. My word decrees that unless one takes up his sword against his neighbor, he will need to flee to Zion for safety. He goes on to talk about what will befall this nation in a very short time. A breath of pestilence and plague is released. Will vanquish the freedom that many have died for. The underlying forces will strip away and tear apart. Man will find empty storehouses, lack of necessities, and starvation. Wave after wave of plague, terror, and government control will cover not only America, but will also take up residence in every town and city throughout the world. But there is a way of survival. Turn now to the Savior. Speak of his name. Pray for deliverance and do not retreat into fear and consumption. Speak to the mountain, and it shall be cast into the sea. When the smoky fumes of hell sweep across the land, rise up in the name of Jesus and rebuke the hideous poisons that will have been released upon the people of America. Call forth in my name the angels to guide your home, your land, and your loved ones. Seek my counsel as to what you should do, where you should go, and when it is safe to travel outside your dwelling. Now this one, listen carefully. When your pantry grows low on supplies, which obviously it's going to do if there are no grocery stores open, cry unto me, your eternal provider, and I will multiply every item of necessity, for the day of buying and selling will have passed. Many people will seek the abundance of your storehouse. Others will resort to theft, murder, and even cannibalism. It doesn't sound very good. It's frightening. But we know that God is in control. And I hope I haven't caused you despair or anything like that. It seems to me that there's a lot of people don't have the foggiest idea what's coming down the road. And when it happens, when things collapse, when you can't go to the grocery store and buy supplies, think of the people who aren't going to be able to go to the coffee place. I can't think of it.
Starbucks?
Yeah. It amazes me what people are paying today for a fast food hamburger. Prices have gone absolutely crazy. Income hasn't kept up with it. They're talking now about the exorbitant cost of child care. Well, that's where part of the problem came from in the first place. Mama should be home teaching her kids from the time they're born until they're ready to go to kindergarten. That's where they get their background. That's where they get the basic training. You can't rely on a babysitter to do that. You can't rely on child care workers to teach them the morals that we have. Ain't gonna happen. Now, I've wondered myself many, many times, what about these mothers whose husband dies? If they've been a housewife, a stay-at-home mom, what are they going to do? I don't know. I don't know what God's plan was. But it frightens me when I think of all these women who are staying home and trying to raise their kids. What's going to happen if their husband dies? How are they going to make a living if they don't have a skill or a trade? And so many of them go out and work, and they don't make enough to pay for their child care. I talked to Billy here a while back about how expensive things are getting. It's unbelievable what some people are spending. He tells me that with all these smartphones and satellite TV and all that sort of stuff, pay TV, he said it's not uncommon for families to have a $500 or $600 a month communications bill. I don't need to communicate that bad. But it's frightening. And you hear people talking about, oh, woe is me. I can't afford to buy milk for my kids. Yeah, but you've got this fancy TV over the internet, and you've got, each one of them's got a fancy cell phone. Do you really need all that stuff? Is it more important that you've got that kind of stuff than it is that you've got food? Is it more important to make sure that your kids have the latest and greatest of everything? Except upbringing. Things that I was taught when I was a kid are scoffed at today. I was taught that any man in a uniform, whether there's a crossing guard at school or a policeman or a fireman, anybody in uniform should be respected. They're not respected today. They're not taught that. I forget who it was. Was it Gorbachev? Somebody said, give me your children up to 3 and 4 years old, and I'll control that generation. We're seeing that. The stuff that's being taught in the schools today is absolutely nuts. It's crazy. Did you ever think that you would see the day that Missouri would legalize recreational marijuana? Did you ever think you'd see the day when we argued about things like abortion, transgender? You know, you go back to the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, and it says, if a man lies with a man, they shall both be surely put to death. God don't like that kind of activity. And yet, look at all the organizations today that are pushing this kind of behavior. What do you call it? LGBTQ? It just, it blows my mind. I can't figure out, I can't imagine how far we have fallen, not us, but society, how far society has fallen away from God's commandments. And all it's doing is leading to more and more I can't think of the word. My memory is the corruption. The corruption is becoming so common that people don't even notice it. Corruption not only in our homes, been in our government. And we know that that is not God's way. We know that His way is better for everybody. We know that sharing is much better than hoarding. It's discouraging. And yet, there is hope. We know what's going to happen ultimately. We know that God is in control. We know that righteousness will prevail. Matthew. Where's my paper clip? I thought they put a paper clip in there. The 24th chapter of Matthew. For then in those days shall be great tribulations on the Jews and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, such as was not before sent upon Israel of God since the beginning of their kingdom until this time. No, nor ever shall be sent again upon Israel. We're seeing that today. The horrible things that are happening in Israel. All things which have befallen them are only the beginning of the sorrows which shall come upon them. And except those days should be shortened, there should none of their flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, according to the covenant, those days shall be shortened. And it goes over to verse 29. And they shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. It's happening today. Behold, I speak unto you for mine elect's sake, For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And again, because iniquity shall abound, the love of men shall wax cold. But he that shall not be overcome, the same shall be saved. Although the days will come that heaven and earth shall pass away, yet my word shall not pass away, but all shall be fulfilled. And as I said before, after the tribulation of those days, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And whosoever treasureth up my words shall not be deceived. For the Son of Man shall come, and he shall send his angels before him with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the remainder of his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Watch therefore, for ye know not at what hour your Lord doth come. We know that God is in charge. We know that there is great evil on the earth today. But God is still in charge. And he will protect his people. The scriptures say that this is a land choice above all other lands. And those who inherit this, or who inhabit this land, will receive multiple blessings from the Lord. But if they turn away, they will be swept off. This is a choice land. This area right here will be the site of Zion. Man's not going to stop it. God is in charge. His word cannot return void. There will be great upheavals amongst the citizens, and great upheavals in the land. Mountains will spring up. The earth will open. There will be floods. We're seeing this stuff. It said the oceans will leave its bounds. We're seeing that. We're seeing the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the torrential rains, the flooding. But this area will be protected. It will be preserved for the righteous people that God will bring to Zion. My hope is that we can get our act together before it's too late. And I don't mean just those of us here in attendance tonight. I don't mean that. We as a people need to get our act together. This is a godly land. This is a land choice above all others. This is the area where God will be. Jesus will come back and gather his people. I hope we can be part of that gathering. Don't give up. Hang in there. God is still in charge.
I've got so much stuff here.
Our closing hymn tonight will be number 149. Realize we've sung this before today, but I think that this particular hymn is very suitable and appropriate for this particular time this evening. So let's rejoice in singing this, and we'll have our closing prayer. Father, we again must thank thee for all thy blessings of the day, this Sabbath day, which thou hast provided for us. For all the blessings of this day, we thank thee. We thank thee for tomorrow, for being able to look forward for tomorrow, another day that thou hast created. And we pray, Father, that thy spirit may prevail tomorrow and all the tomorrows to come. We ask that we may be lifted up in our courage, in our faith, and receive the strength that we need to live our lives. May thy will be done among us and among our fellow men. We pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.